691-2608 today.
This episode of the Paracast is brought to you by Audible.com, the Internet's leading provider of audiobooks, with more than 75,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including fiction, nonfiction, and periodicals. For a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/paracast. That's audiblepodcast.com/paracast. And now, on with the show. We return with Chris O'Brien, our co-host, a special guest where we're going to explore ancient legends and more about ancient astronauts and stuff like that, star people, later on in the episode. As we prepare for the holidays, though, there was a fascinating story that came on the press. And this is an example of how expectations are quite often not realized in news stories. So consider this. NASA is going to have a press conference about some new discovery that might give us clues to ET, extraterrestrial life. You know, really exciting. I mean, they got first-class coverage on the 24/7 news networks. Now, when you first heard about this announcement, Chris, what were you expecting? What did you think it was going to be?
Well, I thought maybe something had landed on the Kremlin front lawn there by Red Square, or maybe the White House. They were going to have some sort of mass descending object of a huge size land, and that the occupants were going to be taken to our leaders. But no, that turned out not to be the case, Gene.
It turned out that this was basically a big disappointment. It wasn't quite what you expected it to be.
No. I guess like with all these things, it was just too good to be true.
Okay, so let me paint the picture here. And I'm going to use one cable network as an example. It doesn't matter which one because I think they were all the same. They assemble some kind of expert from a science magazine or a well-known scientist like Fox News had Michio Kaku, and what was it, CNN had Bill Nye, the science guy. And they were going to explain the impact of what all this means. So you have the cameras focused on this great announcement. They introduce this woman who's an astrobiologist. She talks about this great discovery that they found evidence of possible life forms with different chemical makeup. So instead of phosphorus, there's arsenic. Now, I did an editorial for the Paracast newsletter called Arsenic and ET.
Yeah, I guess you did.
But to show you how important this was, and how the networks were so thoroughly disappointed over what happened, imagine this. So what they do is they play about 1 minute of her announcement, and they say, oh, it's just a bunch of chemicals. Who cares about that? That has to be in the minds of the producers and directors of these cable networks. They cut away so fast. You can't believe how fast they cut away. It was like, you know.
Yeah. Heavens to Murgatroyd. Exit stage
right.
left.
Right. Exit stage left. Maybe they were using bad words, nasty words. Arsenic? Oh, my heavens. Is that all it was? Or as they say in that old song, is that all there is, my friend? You know, maybe we should
get the booze and have a ball. It would be monumental if they found arsenic as the base ingredient of life on this planet. Because as we all know, we're a carbon-based, planet here, and arsenic as a basic component of life would be a big, big deal.
I think the more important thing to consider also is, as an alternative, all that means is that life can take on a greater number of forms. You don't have to look for life as we know it. It may mean that what we know about life is so limited, it can come in all sorts of forms. So-called Goldilocks planets may only be a small cross-section of what might happen or where life might be found. Not just the Goldilocks planet, but all sorts of planets that we would consider hostile. to our form of life. And I think of that segment in the movie Contact with Jodie Foster. And finally, she's about to meet E.T. And E.T. masquerades as her dad because its true form would be beyond her understanding.
Yeah.
But that also raises a larger picture about UFOs. If UFOs are E.T., maybe, again, they're showing us something, a projection, whatever, because we are not capable of understanding who they really are or what they really are.
Yeah. You got to hand it to Sagan. That was a real interesting and well-thought-out plot twist.
The most important part of it, though, is he left it ambiguous, or at least the movie was ambiguous. You know, I can't say so much about the book. I didn't read the book. I saw the movie, and they left it in a way that perhaps maybe she dreamed this. It may have been some kind of dream event. It didn't have to be a physical contact with an alien being.
Yeah. Well, that just kind of, I think there's a moral to the story, and that is if the government claims they have a huge earth-shattering announcement, bring your blocks of salt.
Well, if they're going to do it, they could have basically made this announcement without all this pomp and circumstance, because what it means is that all your expectations of some significant development that affects everyone would be dashed. Now, yeah, if E.T. is here and they admit that, that's very important. If they say, well, E.T. may come in many forms, okay, but if we don't discover that form, them, the intelligent species using that chemical makeup, it's just the first step in a long, long journey.
Yeah. Yep, that's true. I still am wondering where mushroom spores and mushrooms come from. They're unlike any other life form on the planet. And, of course, mushroom spores have been found to be able to withstand the rigors of space, you know, radiation, vacuum, that sort of thing. So, you know, I think there are other candidates on the planet that deserve, I think, more scientific inquiry. And I think Terrence McKenna was the one that came up with the idea that perhaps transpermia exists on the planet already in the form of mushroom spores. Of course, he was particularly fond of the psychoactive form of mushrooms. But you know, it just kind of goes to show that, you know, there's a big universe out there, and we really don't know that much, and we can't assume anything.
So instead of a movie about aliens called Attack of the Killer Tomatoes, it might be a movie called Attack of the Rotten Mushrooms?
No, the trippy shrooms.
Okay. Well, certainly now more and more science has to admit that life out there may just be more and more complicated than they expect. But isn't that the way of all discoveries? And what we learn, you know, it's like almost logarithmic. We discover one fact which leads to a million more.
Right. Yeah, that's the art of asking creative questions. They tend to lead to more creative questions.
And in the end, well, you know, if UFOs are ET, you know, there's still a lot to learn, a lot to discover. But again, we're still hearing the nonsense from the so-called exopolitics people. You know, I gather we're probably anticipating this would be it, you know, this would be the revelation. But I think NASA would be a poor agency for that. You'd want something higher up. I don't know. In any case, rather than focus on the possibilities of ET today, I gather we're going to focus, Chris, on ET way back when. Whether they came amongst us, maybe they're still here. Tell us about our guests.
Well, Gary David, I've known for a number of years now, and I first became aware of him through his book called The Orion Zone, which is a form of inquiry into ancient southwestern United States cultures that looks at it from a naked-eye astronomy, sort of archaeoastronomy point of view. And what Gary discovered is quite fascinating, that all your main sacred sites, villages, and ceremonial areas in the Southwest are mirroring the constellation Orion on the ground. So if you look at a map of all these ancient Hopi sites, popularly known as Anasazi, which is just a made-up term by science, these Hopi villages and sacred sites are arrayed in a perfect mirror image of the constellation Orion. And we're going to get into that today with Gary David, because the implications could be thought-provoking.
The guest is Gary David. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg, the whatever, and you're in
the Paracast.
As you know, the PowerCast is brought to you by Audible.com, the Internet's leading provider of audiobooks. With more than 75,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature and featuring audio versions of many New York Times bestsellers, for listeners of the PowerCast, Audible.com is offering a free audiobook to give you a chance to try out their service. One book to consider, for example, is Above Top Secret, The Worldwide UFO Cover-Up by Timothy Good. Timothy Good, as you know, has been a guest on the PowerCast. Yet another book worth considering from Audible.com is Lies and Deception, UFOs and the Secret Agenda, from Timothy Good once again, and also from our old friend Nick Pope. As you know, Nick Pope has also been on the PowerCast. This is another book that you're definitely going to want to check out. For this book or another free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/powercast. That's audiblepodcast.com/powercast.
Have you ever felt like the United States government knows way too much about your financial affairs? I continue to hear stories about property seizures, frozen bank accounts, confiscation of stocks and bonds. It makes me wonder if the U.S. citizen will ever again have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, with the Drug and Money Laundering Act, the IRS Revenue Ruling 6045 of 1984, and the Trading with the Enemy Act and Franklin D. Roosevelt's Executive Order of 1933, some precious metal holdings are subject to government intervention. For this reason, Midas Resources has prepared a report explaining the boundaries of trading precious metals privately. Whether if you have any intention of trading with Midas Resources or not, I have instructed my representatives to give this report out free. Call for your free copy at 1-800-686-2237. When investing, always proceed with caution. Again, call 1-800-686-2237. Exercise your legal right to trade metals privately. 1-800-686-2237.
Hi, this is Alex Jones. You've heard me talk about the delicious, easy-to-fix, and very storable foods from eFoodsDirect.com. I've told you for years that eFoodsDirect has the best storable food on the planet. Now it's that time of year again, and their holiday special is here. They have two holiday-priced packs for you to put into your reserves for a secure future or to share with others. The first is a six-month bulk supply in 10 cans. And the second is a 5-week supply of quick and easy to fix meals, including delicious bakery items shipped in heavy tote bags. Now, for a limited time, when you order two or more of these special holiday packs, you'll get free shipping on your entire order. Call now, 800-409-5633, or visit them at eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. That's 800-409-5633, or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex.
Question. What would you rather drink? Acidic water, which burns holes in your body and causes loss of bone mass, or alkaline water, which promotes high energy and vibrant health? The answer is clear. And if you're drinking acidic water, you're helping cancer cells and bacteria to grow out of control. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals. Using Plasma pH Drops is the best way to alkalize your water and help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops in the water you drink to raise the pH to a healthy alkaline level. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. Disease organisms like bacteria, viruses, or cancer cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or by calling 269-409-1776. Again, 269-409-1776.
On air, online, and on demand, we are the GCN Radio Network.
We want to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com. Get in on all the action at forum.theparacast.com.
We introduce Gary David. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the PowerCast. And we're going to look at the ancients, the star people, and ancient prophecies. Now, Gary, I want to welcome you first to the PowerCast. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Gene. Good to be here.
Okay, so you have become fascinated by the American Southwest for, what, 23 years or so now. So why did this interest arise? How did it focus on the things that we're going to talk about?
Okay, I've lived in Arizona for about 15 years in northern Arizona. And before that time, I lived in South Dakota, and I taught on the Pine Ridge Reservation and witnessed some of the ceremonies there, and this, especially the Sun Dance, and did some sweat lodges there and got involved with the Lakota Sioux in South Dakota. And I met with a woman named Charlotte Black Elk, and she was the great-granddaughter of the famous Nicholas Black Elk that wrote the classic Black Elk Speaks. And at that time, she was talking about how constellations in the sky, they relate on the Earth to certain points, especially in the Black Hills, which is the center of Lakota Sioux spirituality. And she was talking about a huge constellation made up of Orion's Belt and the Pleiades and Sirius. And this was a celestial buffalo that was projected on various points on the Earth. And
why is that a celestial buffalo? What do you mean by that?
The buffalo, of course, is very important to the Lakota Sioux. It was the mainstay of their diet, and it was basically part of their godhead. There was a spiritual being that sacrificed itself for the people, and they wanted to they saw a huge buffalo in the sky. The backbone of this buffalo was Orion's Belt. The nose of the buffalo were the Pleiades in Taurus, and the tail of the buffalo was Sirius in Canis Major. So this huge celestial buffalo that related to certain points on the Earth that they made migrations to during the course of the year, and they made this huge circular migration route around the Black Hills, going to these specific places on the Earth, doing certain ceremonies like the Sun Dance at specific places at specific times. So their whole cosmology was connected, that idea of as above, so below, that Hermetic dictum that Trismegistus, Hermes, was said to speak many thousands of years ago in Egypt. They had that same sort of idea that the celestial was directly influencing events on Earth and places on the Earth. So this was the first inkling that I had of this kind of archaeoastronomy, this idea that the ancient people saw the stars in a way different than we do today. Of course, they didn't have telescopes. It was all naked eye astronomy. And they had a kind of a spiritual connection to the stars and the star people that came to Earth. So, it's a totally different way of looking at the heavens. And this was the first that I had thought about this. And I came down to northern Arizona, and I settled here, and I started going to some Kachina dances up on the Hopi Reservation. I was driving along I-40 going up towards the three Hopi mesas where the Hopi still live, and I was gazing off to the northeast and considering these three mesas, and I had just read the book by Robert Bouval called The Orion Mystery, and probably your listeners will be familiar with this book. It's the major premise of the book is that the three pyramids on the Giza Plateau correspond to the belt stars of Orion.
And so in ancient times, they were looking to astronomical evidence to develop these things, to build these great archaeological creations.
Yeah, they wanted the sky, the Earth, to mirror the sky, because they saw gods in the heavens, Osiris was the god of the underworld, was connected with the constellation Orion, and they wanted to honor this god by placing these pyramids in this particular pattern. The smallest pyramid is sort of offset. The one, when you look at Orion, it's on the right side, and it's kind of offset from the other two. And this was a deliberate attempt to make the Earth and the sky match. And, you know, I was driving up to the Hopi Mesas, and I realized that, you know, the Hopi live on three primary mesas. They've lived there since about 1100 AD or maybe a little bit before that, building these pueblos on top of and at the base of the mesas. And I was wondering if this might be another Orion correlation like the one in Egypt. And I sort of put that in the back of my mind and went up to the Hopi Mesas and saw a dance there at one of the villages. And then I came back and I got out my sky charts and I got out the map and looked at the ancient villages that the Hopi had made and the villages they are currently living in, and found out that there was a village or ancient ruin corresponding to each major star in the constellation Orion. And this really astounded me. It's just amazing that there'd be this direct sky-Earth correlation, and they somehow built a kind of a template and spread it across the Arizona desert in the form of the constellation Orion.
Okay, so one looks for cause, okay? Is it because they're just emulating what they see in the skies and the heavens, or because there's a larger picture that's being considered here?
Well, I think it's my understanding that Orion is the most important constellation for the Hopi. It synchronizes their winter solstice ceremony. The Hopi have these ceremonies in kivas, which are underground prayer chambers. They descend into the earth and they do their ceremonies down there. But there's a hatchway overhead from which you can see the sky. And when Orion comes into view in this hatchway, that's a signal to start the winter solstice ceremony. So the stars and the sun are connected in that way.
So they're showing basically seasonal changes. We'll get into more of this in a moment. Our guest is Gary David. We're talking about the ancients, the prophets, star peoples, prophecies, all that stuff. The co-host, Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Ray Perkins, a reclusive veteran burned out from the Gulf War, lives tortured by relentless, perplexing nightmares. Nightmares of a horrific battle in deep space and of a mysterious woman suffering in agony for her devastated world. A woman not yet born, calling across centuries to him. Then, a coincidence leads him to his destiny, his chance to alter the universe. Attack! Attack! Of the Rockaways. The former fiction editor for Star Wars and Indiana Jones, Robert Simpson, writes, "The soul of the novel Attack of the Rockaways lies in its heart and passion for building a convincing tale of a love that spans a galaxy. A thrilling story. Attack of the Rockaways is available now. Read a sample chapter and get a special discount off of the cover price at our website, rockoids.com. That's rockoids.com. Attack of the Rockaway, a novel in the grand science fiction tradition.
You worry. We do too, so that's why we made the new OfTheField.com website. New features include the ability to grow and expand, the Free Foragers Forum, and an ultra-secure e-commerce platform. And now, extended until Sunday night, December 12th, take 10% off on everything in our learning resources area by using the coupon code NEWSITE. That's N-E-W-S-I-T-E, no spaces. With this new platform, it is our commitment to serve the foraging community with questions, tips, tricks, and advice freely asked for and given by all. In these times, the strong and principled must stick together, share information, and form bonds stronger than any food tyranny. Wild food is both free to own and free to take, and together we can keep it that way. So go to ofthefield.com and use coupon code NEWSITE or call 888-51-EAT-FREE and give the gift that gives for life. That's ofthefield.com or call 888-51-EAT-FREE. All of nature's bounty lies at your feet.
Where have all the military surplus stores gone? Don't worry, you don't need one, because everything you need at Military Surplus is at mainmilitary.com. That's M-A-I-N-E, military.com, one of the last surviving true military surplus stores in the country. Go online now to mainmilitary.com and discover a source for hard-to-find surplus items at true surplus prices. Surplus gun cleaning kits as low as $2.99, complete chemical suits as low as $11.99. See our huge selection of gas masks, filters, and accessories. Finish M10 gas masks are $3 for $30, and Swiss filters are $3 for $12. Searching for Strike Anywhere matches? MainMilitary.com has them, plus a whole new product line of survival and first aid kits and lots more. Get free shipping on orders over $50 only at MainMilitary.com. That's M-A-I-N-E, Military.com. Or call 877-608-0179, 877-608-0179. MainMilitary.com, the main name in military supply.
Forget everything you've been told about long-term food storage. When all hell breaks loose, you'll need the single most effective way to get high-powered Delta Force nutrients to your family fast. Like any Special Forces commando, you need a plan. You need a Black Hawk Down food plan. Introducing the Survival Sprout Bank from Solutions from Science. It's your countertop survival garden. Yes, grow fresh greens right on your countertop in just a few short days. Sprouts are the green shoots that emerge from newly germinated seeds, and they are powerhouses of living, easily absorbed nutrients. The Survival Sprout Bank is a complete kit with nothing else to buy. And with sprouts so easy to grow, even children can grow emergency food. Call 877-327-0365 or go to SurvivalSproutBank.com. That's 877-327-0365 or order online at SurvivalSproutBank.com. Survival Sprout Bank, your Black Hawk Down emergency food plan.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
This is Kurt Sutherland, the author of UFO Mysteries, and you're listening to the Paracast.
We have Chris O'Brien as our co-host once again. He keeps doing it. He's going to continue to do it till he gets it right. But he tells me the same thing. He says, Gene, you've been a broadcaster for what, 2 decades of your life? When are you going to figure out how to turn it from a practice to a profession? And I say to him, speak for yourself. No, we're kidding. Chris is a good person, and the reason that he tolerates me is because he's about 130 miles or 150 miles away, and he can't just come over and beat me up or something like that. Is that right?
Yeah, something like that. I think the three of us now are arranged in a Orion configuration. Gary's just over the hill in Prescott.
And we are talking with Gary David, The Focus, Prophecy, Star People, all sorts of great stuff. Chris O'Brien, pursue this, please.
Gary, I'm really thoroughly enjoying your latest book that just came out, The Kivas of Heaven. You were starting to describe the importance of the Kiva in the people's everyday and seasonal beliefs and the way that they actually use the position of stars and the position of the sun to dictate very important aspects of their life, when they plant, when they go ahead and harvest, and when they do their particular ceremonial dances, their kachina dances. Why don't you continue with your description of the importance of the Kiva and how this has really given you some clues on how to proceed with your work?
Oh, yeah. Thanks, Chris. In the Western civilization, we tend to build spires piercing the sky and going upward. But the Hopi and other Pueblo people, they went downward into the earth as a source of spirituality. And they built these, the first kivas were actually round. You can see these at places like Chaco Canyon in New Mexico. They built a lot of kivas there. The Hopi later on started to use rectangular kivas, but the function is basically the same, and it has certain elements. All the kivas have certain elements. For instance, there's an overhead hatchway that I mentioned before, that and you crawl down into the kiva through a ladder, and there are like a fire pit in the middle, and there's a kind of a wind ventilation shaft for wind to feed this fire pit, and then there's what's called a sipapu. It's a little hole in the floor, and it's kind of symbolic of a link to the underworld, and it's I conceptualize it as kind of a Native American subway system, you know, kind of a spiritual subway system that you go down through this sipapu, and every kiva has one, and you go down into the underworld through this hole. It's kind of like a wormhole that links you to the underworld. So,
and this is really important. This is important to them too, because in the southwestern tradition of the Pueblo peoples, the idea of the sapapu, or the place of emergence, is extremely important. This is where the natives are led underground just before the earth is going to cleanse itself, and they're protected underground while this process is occurring, and then Creator allows them to reemerge back into this world. So that is your direct link between the modern version of the sapapu and how it symbolically is extremely important for the survival of the people. I guess that was a question.
There's an actual geological formation in the Grand Canyon, and it's called the Sipapu or Sipapuni. It's actually a travertine dome. It's a kind of a limestone formation. It's probably, probably 75 feet in diameter. And there's a hole right in the center of it. It is said that the Hopi emerged from this particular spot. It's located on the north bank of the Little Colorado River, just before it flows into the Colorado River in the Grand Canyon. And it's said that the Hopi emerged from this hole, from what they call the Third World. That's the previous era or world that they lived in. And they came up through this hole, and they crawled out of the Grand Canyon and began to populate the Colorado Plateau. So this is an actual, place that you can see it on the on Google Earth. It's clearly visible. You can see this dome with a hole in the center of it. And the Hopi used to make pilgrimages to this place to gather ritual salt. And in fact, they call Grand Canyon Salt Canyon rather than Grand Canyon. But this is this is symbolized in the kiva itself. This link to the underworld, the prior existence that the people had. And it's interesting to note that the Hopi consider after death they go back to this subterranean place, this underworld, to live an existence there. And in some cases they come out of the underworld and form clouds, and this cloud spirits, I guess you'd call it, and they come back to the Hopi mesas to bring rain to the people. But it's just an amazing cosmology that's totally different than the way Western civilization looks at the world. It's amazing, sky, earth, underworld, this tripartite construction of the cosmos.
I wanted to look, Ari, perhaps at inspirations here, sources of inspiration. So what is it that you think might have inspired these concepts? Just observing the skies and pondering what it all means, or something more direct?
Well, I mentioned the template on the Arizona desert that mirrors the constellation Orion. And there's a god named Asau. It's the god of the underworld. He's also the god of the earth and the god of fire. Some Hopi don't like to talk about Masaiwa because he's a rather spooky-looking character. You know, he has a large round eyes and a round mouth, and his head is very large and bulbous, kind of, it's bald. And the texture resembles a summer squash, kind of bumpy. And his feet are very long, and his forearms are long. And his body is gray, and he's connected with death, the underworld, and very kind of frightening things. So that's why some Hopi won't even talk about Masaiwa at all. The word Masaiwa, the root of the word is mas, which literally means gray. And if you look at, you know, artist renditions of this
Wait a minute, the word mosque means gray?
No, mas, M-A-S.
Oh, mas, I was saying mas. Why is he talking about? I'll tell you what, I have a lot to learn about ancient prophecies and ancient history, as we know. You know, I am a professor of ignorance, as I plead to many people. If you have comments, by the way, about the Paracast, go to forum.paracast.com. Forum.paracast.com. Join up, participate. You're able to basically pose questions for guests of future shows. Talk amongst yourself. Enjoy the fun. We're having fun with Gary David, talking about the ancients in all their glory. And one more thing. We have a newsletter, neighbors. To learn more about it, go to newsletter.theparacast.com. Once again, that's newsletter.theparacast.com. We give you updates on the current and future shows, and I have a special editorial each and every week. One of my fearless editorials, as a matter of fact. Once again, that's newsletter.theparacast.com. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
The Paracast.
Fate Magazine provides true reports of the strange and unknown. Keep up with the latest on angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, life after death, and much, much more. To receive your free issue of Fate Magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730 or visit their website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
Hi, this is Tamar from Namecheap. We're a domain name and web hosting company, and we really care about our customers. With domain name purchases, Namecheap offers free SSL and free WhoisGuard for a year to protect your identity from spammers. Most importantly, we care about you. If you'd like to learn more, please visit us at radio.namecheap.com, radio.namecheap.com for web hosting and domain name specials. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Namecheap or become a fan of ours on Facebook at facebook.com/Namecheap. See you online.
I'm concerned about food for my family in the event of an emergency, and I know you are too. Are you ready? Don't wait for an emergency to happen. Put a plan together now with quality dehydrated food from Ready Reserve Foods. For nearly 40 years, Ready Reserve Foods has been in continuous operation, canning the finest in dehydrated foods. Other companies just broker canned foods. Ready Reserve is the manufacturer, controlling quality from start to finish with double enameled cans and nitrogen packing for maximum shelf life. Ready Reserve offers a balanced selection of fruits, vegetables, dairy products, proteins, and grains. Choose from a variety of pre-selected units or order by individual can to customize your own plan. When you purchase from Ready Reserve Foods, you are buying factory direct at wholesale prices. Call today for a free catalog, 1-800-453-2202, or visit ReadyReserveFoods.com. Call 1-800-453-2202. Ready Reserve Foods. Factory direct, wholesale pricing.
Becoming a modern smoker is now easier and more cost-effective, thanks to LeCig. Traditional smokers the world over love LeCig. E-cigarettes with a look, feel, and taste of real cigarettes, but without the nasty smoke, ashes, or stains. LeCig is powered by revolutionary microelectronic technology. A small, rechargeable battery and unique replaceable cartridge provide all the satisfaction and benefits of smoking without the smoke and all the hazards. See the large variety of LeCig e-cigarette supplies and accessories at LeCig.com. That's LeCig.com. LeCig is competitively priced, comes with the best customer service, dose, a 30-day warranty, and satisfaction guaranteed. What a great gift idea. For a 10% discount, mention GCN when you call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Ask for fast, free, same-day shipping. Order online at LESIG.com and use promo code GCN at checkout. That's LECIG.com. LESIG, for today's modern smoker.
It's the winter cold and flu supplement sale at HerbalHealer.com. Take advantage of Herbal Healer Academy's incredible savings on the best cold and flu supplements available. Many of you know elderberry is exceptional against viral infections. Right now, Herbal Healer Academy has elderberry power. Regularly priced at $16.95, now incredibly low at only $10 for 60 vegetarian caps. For children and seniors, our Herbal Healer Academy Flu Away Elderberry Liquid is only $13 for a 4-ounce bottle. Also on super sale, olive leaf capsules, oregano oil plus capsules, and our incredible respirate formula, oregacillin physician strength capsules for your lungs. Normally $34.95, now just $25. Hit the winter specials link at HerbalHealer.com for these cold and flu supplement specials and other on sale products like apple cider vinegar, brain power, and neuro recovery. New customers get a free catalog with your first order. Log on and hit the winter specials now at HerbalHealer.com.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
You're in the Paracast. You never know what's going to happen next.
We return. Chris O'Brien is the co-host. Gary David's the guest. The ancients are under discussion. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the Paracast. And now Chris will probe further into what all of this might mean.
Well, Gary, I find the descriptions of Masao very, very interesting. You're describing what many people would kind of equate to a taller, skinnier, kind of uglier version of your almost typical gray alien type, although Masao, I think, is much taller in depictions that I've seen. Why don't you continue talking about Masao and how he looks and what your thoughts are on this potential correlation?
Well, that's the first thought that I had when I saw, the artist's rendition of this, this god. And, it's pretty striking, the fact that his name would mean gray, in Hopi, actually, kind of a death-like pallor, I guess, the Hopi wanted to describe him like. And Masao has some positive things too. Masao taught the Hopi how to plant corn. Live a very simple life, using dry farming without irrigation for the most part. So Masao had some good points. He's not just a threatening god. And Masao was there at the beginning when they set off on their migrations at the beginning of the Fourth World. When the Hopi crawled up from the Tsipapu out of the Grand Canyon and across the Colorado Plateau, and started to migrate, and they started to build villages across Arizona and across the Southwest, and Masao supposedly accompanied them in these very early migrations. And he possibly even told them where to build a particular village, instructed them how to, where to build a pueblo. A pueblo is a kind of like an apartment building made out of stone, one of the first apartment buildings, In fact, in Chaco Canyon, one of the main ancient pueblo sites, Pueblo Bonito was the largest structure in the world until the 1880s, when the New York had an apartment complex that they built there in the 1880s in New York. So,
how large are we talking about here?
It was about 800 rooms. It was a massive kind of structure, and there are a number of these pueblos in this canyon, And they started going in Chaco Canyon. The culture really started to get going in around the 10th century. And it's if you've ever been to northern New Mexico, you know how dry and barren it is. There are no rivers nearby. I mean, they built this place seemingly in the middle of nowhere, as we like to say.
It's definitely in the middle of nowhere today.
Yeah, you have to go down a dirt road to get to the park. It's a national park, and once you get to the park, there are paved roads. But you have to go down these pretty rough roads that get washed out frequently. And it's about 20 miles down these dirt roads to get to this site. But there, like I said, there are a number of huge pueblos that were built in this particular canyon. And it's my understanding that, or my belief, perhaps, that the Masao kind of instructed them to build here. Because in the template that, I've discovered in the course of a dozen years or so of researching this, I found that Chaco Canyon corresponds to the star Sirius.
That's pretty important. Now, looking at the map of the area of the Southwest and then overlaying the actual locations of the villages, it almost appears to me that the only way that you could do that and do it to the degree of accuracy that we see is if you were actually up in space viewing the Earth from high above. Do you think that there's a possibility of some sort of ET influence in the actual or some sort of aerial perspective that may have helped the Indians place these important sites where they are today?
I definitely think that you had to be up above the Earth in order to get a sense of this whole pattern on the Arizona desert that forms the constellation Orion. And the Hopi have a lot of legends about what they call patuvota, or flying shields. And these kachinas, which some of your listeners might be familiar with, the kachina dolls, and the Hopi still have kachina dances. These are spirit beings that come in many different forms. If you go to a kachina dance, you'll see a lot of different weird masks, cylindrical, circular. There's a lot of feathers, and some of these creatures have bug eyes, and some have slits that look almost like helmets that are worn by aliens, But these kachina dancers, they perform these dances in the springtime, starting about April, late April, going through past the summer solstice into July, and then they stop having the dances. But these beings that they're commemorating, supposedly in legends, the Hopi said that they piloted these flying shields, and they frequently came down to the mesas, and some of these creatures even took Hopi brides and mated with the women. And much like, in the Bible, you have the watchers coming down from the sky.
Right, and finding the daughters of men fair.
Yeah, the sons of God mating with the daughters of men to produce these Nephilim, or these giants in the earth. And this is essentially, what was going on in the American Southwest. You had these kachinas coming down. They say that the kachinas used to come in the flesh. They used to be physical beings, but now they only come in spirit because the society has been corrupted and the world is basically going to hell.
So basically these beings are no longer around and we see just visions of them?
We see, yeah, they come in the spirit form rather than, a physical manifestation.
So that's saying that therefore in ancient times they met up with these physical creatures.
Yes, they came down on these craft, and there's a story that's really touching. There's a a pair of twins, a girl and a boy, and they were escaping a great flood. And that sounds familiar too. But they had to leave their village, and the parents in this in the commotion they left them behind. So the boy and the girl started off on a journey to find the parents. And the first night they camped out in the desert, and they saw this a huge flying shield come down and set down on the desert. And this creature came out of it. And this creature is described as having a face that shone like a star. And the creature supposedly had clothing that
looked
like...
Let me interrupt you for a second, Gary. Shone like a star. Are we saying it glowed?
It emitted some sort of light. The face emitted some sort of light. Maybe, kind of like a spiritual being.
Or a space helmet.
Or a space helmet, yeah. If you want to take there's... You can have this, you go back and forth on whether they were physical or whether they were spiritual, and that's a constant debate, even among ufologists today, whether we're dealing with interdimensional beings or actual physical spacecraft. But, this creature had, clothing that it described as looking like icicles.
And a reminder, if you want to tell us what you think about us, about the show, about the guests, and maybe to suggest some guests for the future, we do welcome your email. We don't consider it spam. We want to hear from you. The address is news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. We can't promise we'll answer all the letters, but I assure you we read everything. I'll tell you what, let's talk about the clothing, and let's talk about this vision or experience in more detail in a moment. Gary David joins us. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
The Paracast.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you own an Apple iPhone and love to listen to your favorite programs on GCN, I've got good news for you. I'm proud to announce that GCN has a brand new iPhone app available for our dedicated listeners at GCNlive.com. Listen to your favorite hard-hitting GCN programs live or on demand right on your iPhone. And the best part? The GCN iPhone app can be yours absolutely free. Download the iPhone app today by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
The people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.